People, the number one attribute people follow is not a personality, it's clarity. Be very, very clear, right? Clarity is what they follow. So the more clear we can be, people fear what they don't know. People fear what they don't know. So if we can clear up any fears or any I don't know what's happening, I don't know where we're going, what are we even doing here? Like, what's the purpose? Clarity is number one, and people fear what they don't know. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So once we know everything, once we have the church's stuff established, now we can be confident, right? There's nothing to be afraid of. And I'm confident that every single person saying the same thing I am, I'm not stepping out of line. I'm not saying something that someone else isn't saying. We're all saying the same thing the same way. Right? Does that make sense what I'm saying? All right. Ray.
Everyone.
Everyone, yep. Okay, but you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was just saying that because I'm on.
Yep, everyone. Yeah. I can lead us if we can have someone do the English. So, you guys got those done? All right. We'll hand those in. So this is our vision. This is again the website. So it'll say the Way Church. And right in the front, it'll have probably not our vision up front. It'll have what you guys have circled right now. So I'm going to collect and go over where people come to be loved and encouraged. Whatever you guys circled as a whole. You know, I'll look at those and see what one got the most votes, and that will be who we are, right? That will be who we are. Any questions on this topic before we get into the lesson? Okay. Go and head them into the side here in the middle, and Levi will come grab them. Here's today's lesson. Do you want to grab some of these from me? All right, go on this side. Yep. Let's see. Fumble. There you go, Steve. Where you guys go? You're welcome. Perfect. Barry, will you pray for us, please?
Yes. For some reason, I knew you were going to ask.
Good.
I don't know
why. Yeah. Had that feeling, huh?
Yeah. Lord, thank you for bringing us all together here to listen to the word of the pastor. We are so grateful for being here and being able to enjoy our camaraderie together in the love of Christ. I say these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, so we're going to continue on our thoughts on gifts. If you notice on this page, I actually went a step further, and I put the if you have a Strong's Concordance, I gave the Strong's Concordance number on there to look up. And that way you can look it up for yourself. I'll probably start doing that, be a little bit more detailed. So as you guys study this out, one of my long-term goals is to put these lessons in a little booklet. Something I'm looking forward to moving in the future is our lessons for our church people. We'll put in a little booklet, and it'll be kind of nice to have, right? We'll create our own church library for our church people. I'm not looking to sell them. You guys can hand them out to people you know for free. I don't want to make any money on them. It'll be just a kind of a fun ministry that we're looking forward to do. All right, where did we leave off last week? You guys remember? I forgot. What gift did we leave off on?
Well, I think we went over the gift.
We skipped over the gift of prophecy.
Yeah.
We did?
We did do miracles, and you talked a little bit about healing.
Okay, let me get my lesson from last week. Oh, All right, so we are on prophecy then? Is that what we should go over?
Yeah.
All right, prophecy. Any thoughts on prophecy? Any thoughts on prophecy? It's okay, we're not looking at about being right or wrong. It's just, here's my thoughts.
Is prophecy still today?
That's interesting. Because it's tough because 1 Corinthians 13 that prophesying will cease, tongues will cease, and knowledge will cease when that which is perfect has come. And then the example Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 13 is maturity. So something maturing that is going to make this go away. It's interesting. So, to come full circle, is prophecy still for today? I would say it would have to do more with the ability. I would say it's more on like wisdom and discernment. Like I have the ability to, when I read something, to understand it, to get the teaching, to where I can explain it a certain way and foretell God's word, not foretell a future, that future events. So all the future events are written down and done. So there's nothing that's going to be outside of that. That's going to be new, right? If you've noticed, everyone that's tried to predict something new of our future coming to pass, it has never happened. That should be a warning sign to those groups to not follow them, right? That's one of the number one things that in the Old Testament, a prophet, if what a prophet says does not come to pass, what were the Old Testament people supposed to do? Stone them to death. So they should have stoned Ellen G. White. Seventh-day Adventist leader. They should have stoned her.
Yeah, but that's a little odd. I mean, they were prophesying of Christ's birth and his death and his resurrection, and that didn't happen in anybody's lifetime who was prophesying that, so they all should have been stoned.
So, Deuteronomy, those prophets. In Deuteronomy, if a prophet's going to say something that doesn't come to pass when they say it,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, they were to be stoned according to the Jewish law.
Yeah.
Yep. But you're right, as far as Christ coming, now those didn't really come until Isaiah. There was about 500-600 years of no prophecy of the Messiah coming. So, yeah.
But still, we have most of the minor prophets that are involved in
which they came after, yeah.
Or even predicting the return from Babylon, mm-hmm. Which didn't happen in prophets' lives, that they returned from Babylon. So I think there's a lot of prophets that would have been stoned based on that law.
Right.
So, but it makes me want to go one step farther than that law.
Yes, so I think that if a prophet was going to say something in their time, right, and it's not coming to pass, then you kind of know, right? Like if they say, hey, 2 days from now this is going to happen, and it doesn't,
now
right? Yeah, now you're dead, yeah. Right, and even half of the messianic prophecies are subliminal. They're kind of hidden in there. So they're talking to mainly the group of the Jews and what they're going through, but inside there's hidden messages for the future so they can look back and go, hey, it was addressed to the Jews at this time, but you can see the Messiah in there now. So it wasn't because it was a mystery, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, so it is kind of a gray area right there.
And I think, when you talk about the Old Testament prophets, a lot of them said, like the returning from Babylon or the going into exile, they're going to be exiled for a certain amount of time and then come back. And that was definitely longer than the prophet's life. But the timeline was there, whereas I think what Pastor Jesse is talking about is people that have a specific timeline, like Christ is coming back in 1999 or something like that, and that's pretty clear that was the date that was set. And is that
yeah,
right on where you're going with it?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Now again, Ellen G. White would be okay because we're not Jews, we're not under the law, so we wouldn't stone her, but you can kind of get the picture of how serious they took it.
I think you had mentioned it one time, and I may have misheard, that prophecy has actually a foretelling component to it, and a foretelling.
Mm-hmm.
How would foretelling differ from evangelism?
Beautiful. Let's look. So let's go down to 1 Corinthians. And let's look at, let's see, chapter 14, 1 Corinthians 14, and I'm going to answer your question, Dave. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, follow after love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Okay, so now we're going to get to some more detail on why Paul's saying to prophesy. For he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, although in the spirit he speaks mysteries. See? So he's comparing speaking in German to no one who understands German, he's just speaking to God, right? So if I have the gift to speak German, and there's no one that can hear or understand German, no one's going to benefit, right? Because it's a specific group. It's a specific, you know, a person. Now see how Paul compares that to prophesying. Verse number, speaks in unknown tongues. Okay, so continuing on, for no one understands him, although the Spirit speaks to mysteries. Verse 3, but he who prophesies speaks to men. This is what prophesying looks like, okay? And we're going to look at both forthtelling and foretelling here. Their edification, exhortation, and comfort. He who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So we look at, we see here that prophesying does three main things. Okay, those three main things are, it's going to edify, exhort, and comfort. Those are the three things we see that prophesying is going to do. So whether it's telling about the future, like when Paul talks about, when he's prophesying, Paul's saying in 1 Thessalonians, in 1 Corinthians 15, that the Lord is going to come for his church. That's a prophecy, right? It's prophesying about the snatching away, right? It's prophesying about the end, correct? That is foretelling the future, and that is used to comfort when I know I'm going to die, the first century church, okay? If you look at when Paul thinks he's going to die, when he's on the road and different things are going to happen, what does he focus on? The resurrection or the Lord's return, right? The Lord's return or the resurrection are the two things that Paul looks at when times are getting tough. So it's a comfort that the Lord's going to come. Many times when you see the church going through serious tribulations, being persecuted, you'll see mentioned the Lord returning. You'll see that mentioned, so that is a comfort, right? That's to exhort and to let me know I can still continue on doing what I'm supposed to do, because either A, I'm going to resurrect anyways if I die, and B, I'm going to do it until the Lord comes. Does that make sense? It's going to edify, it's going to exhort, and it's going to comfort. So those are the three things that prophesying does. Now, forthtelling is I have the word of God, I have truth. But let's say I sit under Paul for just one session, and I have the ability in my spirit to memorize those truths. Now I can go proclaim those same truths to everybody else I come across. People had this gift when they went to Antioch. We don't know who started the church at Antioch, right? No one knows. All we know is that when tribulation came to the church and there's persecution, they left Jerusalem and went out preaching Jesus, and they came to Antioch, and they were able to establish a great church there. And then when Peter and John heard about it, they went up there, and Barnabas, they went up there. Barnabas took Paul and brought him there, and there was a lot of teaching going on. I mean, Paul was there for 2 years before they went out and went on the first missionary journey. So we see it with Epaphras also. See, the church at Colossae, Paul didn't start that church. So he was at Ephesus, which we assumed at Ephesus, hearing the gospel being preached there, took not just the gospel, but the truths Paul was teaching, went to Colossae on that main traveling road, and started saying the same things that Paul was teaching and saying. That's forthtelling. So it's established truth, new to me, and the ability for me to understand and memorize, and the confidence and the ability to take it and go now and preach to others that which I learned. That will be forthtelling. Does that make sense?
So I get confused when I'm reading this. Is there prophecy is a noun and prophesy is a verb, right? So are they one and the same?
What do you guys think? Are they one and the same, prophesying as a noun and as a verb? Are they one and the same? You think so? Okay, why?
Same root word.
Same root word, right? Mm-hmm. So what would be the difference?
Just the action of it.
Right, the action of it. Mm-hmm. Yep, the action of it. Yep, so it's the same root word, and it's just the action of it being done.
Okay. S-Y is prophesy, and the noun is with the C, prophecy.
Okay, perfect. So same root word, one's just being taught and being explained, the other one is it actually being done in practice. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we see it, right? We see it there at in Corinthians. Paul is helping this baby church to focus on not speaking in a different language, that only benefits you, but speak in the national language that everyone knows. Why? So it can benefit everyone. Does that make sense? What did you guys hear me say? So at Corinth, where's Corinth located? What are the main languages established at this time? Greek? What else? Latin? Yeah, because just remember, the one thing that's going to help you guys remember this is what when they ascribe things on the cross, what were the languages on the cross? Those are the main languages at that time, right? So people, like across the world now, America is really the one that lacks in this area, but people know multiple languages. It's taught in their schools, right? To know two or three languages. Yep. So they're to follow after prophecy over tongues, because prophecy encourages, it exhorts, and it comforts. And the whole church is edified. That's the goal of prophesying. Whether it's forthtelling, taking what I've learned, but just really quickly, and telling someone else, you know, a group of people, or future events. Which I think future events are done, so technically we could forthtell future events, because we talk about the rapture, we talk about the tribulation period, things like that, but it's because it's written down, right? Yeah. Any more questions on prophecy? Okay. So I went over miracles. Did we go over healing?
A little bit.
A little bit? All right. I believe it's the supernatural ability to cure human sicknesses, whether physical, mental, or demonic. Okay. And when we see it done in the book of Acts, through Peter or Paul or different areas, that's mainly there to establish the message of the one performing, or the message of what I'm saying, that Christ has come, Christ is the Messiah. And me doing the healing is to establish and reaffirm the power that Christ has, right? It's to reaffirm and establish who I'm talking about is the one. So anytime you see, like in the book of Acts, where Peter heals the lame man and everyone's freaking out because he's been lame since he's been born, and he's jumping up and down, and they're getting praise to Peter and John, and what does Peter do? He says, nope, Jesus did this, whom you guys crucified, right? And so the religious leaders got upset, and they said, hey, we can't deny a notable thing's been done, but we can't give Jesus credit. That's what they said. We can't give him credit. Why? Because this healing miracle would reinforce and back up the one they're talking about, that Jesus is the one. He is the Messiah. So they couldn't do that. So they just said, we'll skip over Jesus, and we'll give God credit. We'll give God glory, which... of course, but Christ is God. And they don't want to recognize that.
Well, they could have done it. It's just they chose not to. They could have forfeited their power and chose to say that Christ is
the leaders?
God.
Yes.
They could
have, absolutely. Yeah. Yep, they could have. Mm-hmm.
they also use the power of being demonic, or is that like
No, they agreed it was of God.
Okay.
That, not that it was demonic on that one.
Wasn't there a place where they did accuse Jesus of having...
Oh, Jesus? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying Peter, sorry.
Oh,
I said,
sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, Peter in Acts 3 healed someone, and they gave God credit for it.
Okay.
But not Jesus.
Okay,
yeah.
Sorry, I
got confused. Yeah. Now... as time goes on, we begin to see, in my opinion, you don't have to believe this, this power going away. We see it in Paul's ability to heal. He couldn't heal himself. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He couldn't heal Epaphroditus in Philippians 2. He couldn't heal Timothy in 1 Timothy 5. And he couldn't heal Trophimus in 2 Timothy 4. These are people that were sick and around him that he could not heal. And there are times when he had the gift of healing, so why couldn't he heal him? Personally, I think it's kind of phasing out. Okay? I think his healing is kind of phasing out. The church is being established. It's starting to mature. They're understanding the main truths of what the church is supposed to have. And so these sign gifts are kind of going away. What are your guys' thoughts on that? Any?
Jesse,
yeah.
That list that you just read, mm-hmm. did they all sort of happen at the same time frame?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep, they did. No thoughts?
Is there, I have a question.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere else that we have the inference of the daily spiritual gifts other than in Corinthians?
No, not that I know of.
Yep.
Oh, not that I know of.
Well, other than the actual, like, we see it play out.
Nope. All right, if there's no more questions, we're going to the gift of knowledge. On that page I handed out today, gift of knowledge. So I gave you that Strong's number there. If you guys want to look it up on your own, that's great. Knowing, the act, the science. There's another root word in there, 1097, to know, be aware, perceive, understand. And so it's the supernatural ability to gather and understand biblical truths. Now this one's tough, because if this gift is going to fade out, like 1 Corinthians 14 says, I wonder what we have now. So 1 Corinthians 14 says that prophesying and tongues and knowledge will cease. What do we have now if it's not knowledge? What do you guys think? He was at that time also.
Well, yeah, but yep. I mean, as opposed to an innate ability, it got given to us just a channel, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe more discernment.
Yep.
And knowledge is different than wisdom, and so knowledge is just knowing things. Could it be that just common knowledge today is far above what their gift of knowledge was then?
That's one thought I have also. Yep, it's just more common knowledge. It's more common, it's out there, right? It's established. That's one idea I have also. Yep. Go ahead, Don.
One of the things that always interests me is that these letters were written to the churches, and he gives Corinthians to the Corinthian church. Well, the people in Ephesus don't understand or don't have that letter, so how do they know? Where do they get the knowledge of all the various letters that were written to various churches? Nobody knows except what they got. So where is that knowledge coming from? And I'm thinking maybe that's what this is referring to.
So on that same note, I have that same thought. So I have both you and Dave's thought. Another thought that I have is they're relying more on teachers. There are more and more teachers being established, and they're relying more and more on teachers to get the teaching to do that. So I think it's more of a mix of common knowledge, like if this has been heard, the known world's heard this truth. The known world has been established for years on understanding this. And not only that, but I think the teachers are now rising up. There are more and more more and more teaching being done, more and more teachers with that gift. So I think that's my thought. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, so that knowledge is less on that gift given, so I can, you know, I think it was given to establish a church quickly. And once the churches were established in the known world, it faded out, and now the teachers are coming forward, those that were taught by those that had the gift of knowledge. So I think the torch, if you will, was passed down from those that have the gift of knowledge to those with the gift of teaching. Does that make sense? Okay. Anybody confused right now? Anybody confused? We'll slow down for a second. I know it's a lot, kind of a lot to take in. Are we comfortable with where we're at? All right. Yep, gift of wisdom is different. It has a clear, wise, it denotes practical skill, supernatural ability. What did I write down there? Because I have my notes. I wrote yours as different. What did I say? The supernatural ability to do what now?
Make quick, clear decisions.
Yep.
Any spiritual content.
Yeah, exactly. That's when someone's wise. They're hearing something, or someone's there. It's like the gift of listening, right? I'm hearing things and I'm going, boom, here's the answer. Boom, here's the answer. Right? It can help someone with that practical skill.
I always thought that wisdom was more the application of knowledge.
It can be, absolutely.
I mean, because it's one thing to know something, and it's another thing to be wise. I mean, you can know all things.
Right.
And not be wise.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So it denotes practical skill, right? So taking the knowledge and helping someone understand how to use it. Yeah, how to apply it. Yeah, because people know truth, right? People know I'm supposed to love the Lord and serve Him and do all these things, but they don't know how. What does that mean practically?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Proverbs talks a lot about seeking wisdom. It doesn't talk hardly at all about seeking knowledge. And so I wonder if in that application process of how you're applying knowledge to people's life, I can definitely see the definition that you have here for wisdom of being able to cut to the chase and know how to act on this, get to the bottom line through all of the knowledge that we have here. How do I get to the bottom line for how that's usable? But it seems like that would still be something to seek for. I'm not sure that would necessarily pass away unless it just became commonplace.
Yeah, I don't think
we're certainly not a wise world.
Yeah, I don't think wisdom passes away. I think wisdom stays. Knowledge says it'll cease.
Ah, got it.
As the church matures. So I think wisdom still stays because, you know, you need someone wise to help baby believers in Christ, right? Yep, you need someone wise to help those baby believers. So as the Holy Spirit, because we seek the Holy Spirit for wisdom now, and so as I'm seeking the Holy Spirit for guidance and wisdom, and as He shows me spiritual truths, right, I'm asking, how do I apply that? And many times the Lord will bring someone in your life to help you understand those spiritual truths. Because if you look at Corinth, or actually all New Testament churches, as they're learning truth, very few of them actually know how to apply it, right? What's one of the top three things that you see in these baby churches? Well, number one, you're going to see a lot of what? Behavior. So it's not common sense, right? It's not common sense in their time, as they're learning the spiritual truths, to go, I should probably stop offering sacrifices to idols. Now, we look at that and go, duh, right? But they're told to stop doing that. There are other things that say, you guys shouldn't be going out and having, you know, sexual immorality with people. That should stop. So it's still persisting because they're not convicted. They don't know. Now once they know, they go, oh, okay. I'll stop doing that. So it wasn't common sense to do that. Now some people got it, of course, but not everyone as a whole. So when you see the letters correcting, what are you guys hearing me say right now? What are you guys hearing me say?
People weren't willing to give up their old ways of behavior. I think the second corollary to that, or the next part of that is that they were confused. And as they were trying to get more precise in their thoughts of this, false teachers came in.
Right.
Which would have been the second step into that.
Yep. What do you guys hear me say over here?
I'm fine with it. Learn to change how they live.
There's a fine line between what Steve just said, understanding how we live, and the do's and don'ts. You know, a lot of people live by, here's my set of rules. I don't smoke, drink, and chew, and all that stuff. You know. So it's how to apply what we know and how we behave, as opposed to following these rules.
Right, because those rules you named off that came out in the 50s and 60s,
They're
not sinful. They weren't even thought of back in the Bible, right?
Right.
But in and of themselves, you know, smoking isn't bad, chewing isn't bad, drinking isn't bad. Those aren't sinful. Now, how many of you guys think that is sinful? Raise your hand. Be honest. I think it's sinful.
I think there's a nuance in something becoming sinful when it's used in an improper or improper.
Could be anything, right?
Right. Yeah.
Could be anything.
Because the drinking, that's really fine line, because you don't want to. Forfeit being under the Spirit's control. You don't want to become under alcohol's control.
So what's clear? Don't be drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can drink. You got to remember, too, back in this time, they didn't make grape juice.
Nope.
They made wine.
It lasted for about a day before it turned into
right,
wine.
Which was unprofitable, right? No one has a vineyard going to make grape juice. It's unprofitable. So they made wine and wine only, right? Yeah, of course. So, yeah. So what, you know, so the behavior is Spirit-led. So I'm relying on the Spirit. So our New Testament Proverbs would be all on renewing our mind. It would be all on, you know, renewing, walking the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit, right? It's all on that. That's our proverb to keep us going. I am not myself. I am someone new. I have a new nature now. So now how do I behave like it, right? Here's what I need to focus on. Because now I have all the things that have been programmed in my mind on what behavior is acceptable and what's not. And the issue isn't the outcome. The outcome isn't the problem. It's what's leading me to that outcome. Right? Oh, well, the chemicals in my brain. Why are these things firing? The habits that I formed. Right? So all these habits now, I need to create new habits. Okay? I need to create new ones. What's that? Maturity, exactly, exactly.
So in other words, it's the same exact thing nowadays.
It's the same exact, yep. So a gift of wisdom, I think, still here, because you know people that you go to say, hey, I have a question for you. Because you know, but you don't know how to apply it, right? So think about the person that you know that you can go to that says, hey, they're going to give me some wisdom. I know I have these set of truths. I know I know this, but what does it look like? So who do I go to that helps me with what this looks like? That's the person that has wisdom. Because they can hear out what you're saying and go, okay. Here's a good response. Here's some wisdom, right? Here's a perspective. And they can get it to you quickly and precisely, and it's applicable, right? You can apply that and go, oh, gotcha. Not everyone has that, right? Now, you can still go to people to say, hey, pray for me. Have you ever been someone to say, I don't know how to help you, if I can pray for you? They don't have wisdom. Now, that's not bad or wrong, right? Thankfully, they're being honest, right? But their gift can come through and say, hey, I don't have any wisdom for you. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. But here's what I'm good at. I can have compassion on you. I can have mercy on you. I can pray for you. I can encourage you, right? So there's nothing demoting about telling someone, man, I don't know. I don't know how to help you. You just come through with what you can control, your gift, right? And say, hey, here's what I can control. I can come alongside you and I can be with you every step of the way. I can show mercy with you. Or I can give you my time, a gift of giving. I can give you all the time you need to help with this process. Or I can give you all the money you need to help you, gift of giving, right? Or whatever. So having wisdom, not having wisdom, is not bad in and of itself.
Oh, go ahead.
You know, it's just interesting to me that we are still trying to live by the law today. Not the Jewish law, but the law. How do I act? I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't shoot. I don't have, the whole laundry list of things that we don't do, the same thing as the rich young ruler. I mean, those things have never changed, even though we know that the way we're supposed to live our life is to walk in the Spirit. It really is that simple. It's when we look deeper for, well, what does walking in the Spirit look like? That's a circular logic getting you back to living by the law, rather than in the freedom that you have to walk in the Spirit. It just hasn't changed.
Right.
Well, and it goes back to what Julie said about falling under the control of the Spirit. Are we falling under the control of the Holy Spirit, or are we falling under the control of the law, or of the flesh, or whatever it may be, whether it's alcohol or wrath or and whatever? What are we falling under the control of? And that can be sinful things, or it can just be the law. Or that it should be the Holy Spirit.
Go ahead, Julie.
Well, is wisdom one of the, when you gave out the paper maybe 2 weeks ago, is wisdom one of the things that all of us should have? Because in James it says, whoever lacks wisdom can pray. You know?
Yes. So you can pray. That doesn't mean that God's not going to send someone to you to teach you. Right? Right.
So bottom line, is wisdom understanding how to apply God's will?
Yeah, God's will, or anything in a spiritual context. So when someone has an issue or a problem or a question, they're asking, and you can quickly discern and decipher and go, here's how to apply that. Here's what this looks like.
Yeah. If you know your core values, wisdom comes easy.
True.
You know who you are. You know who you are in Christ.
Yes.
You know what that means. So you can get to that bottom line and help that person.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the question is, because you know your core.
Right. I think you can learn to get wisdom, but the gift is given, boom, right now. Like, I just know, right? Now, that not everyone's there. Doesn't mean you can't learn it. I don't think I had the gift of wisdom when I started out pastoring, but as I've grown and learned more and understood more, now I have wisdom. So it took me to, James, right, asking my pastor questions before he left me and went to heaven, that stinker. And so he imparted wisdom unto me to help me with those values. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
So then, are gifts something that you cannot own or learn? Can you be given the gift of wisdom and get better at it?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because from what you were saying there, it sounds like it was possible that it was just given perfectly in that state. But I want to make sure it was given.
Yeah.
So it's something that can be owned or learned or even if it is given a gift.
Practiced.
Okay.
Yep.
It doesn't seem to me that wisdom is a gift. It seems like it's a culmination of understanding and knowledge of truth, and then therefore, wisdom emerges from that. Just to have wisdom, you can't, you need the understanding and the knowledge to have wisdom also.
Well, it is a gift, because it tells us in 1 Corinthians that it is a gift. So you got to remember, back when the church was first established, these gifts were really given to be relied on to help keep things decent and in order, right, to keep unity. So one person just, accepted Christ as their Savior, they get the gift of wisdom, so as they're hearing things, they can tell you how to apply it, even though, because at this time, no one had a background in being saved. No one learned, no one was mature. They were all starting out at the same time. Like, gift is given to go, I don't have the pedigree, right? But I have this gift, so here's how we should do this. Here's how this would look. But now we can learn more and more and mature more in wisdom because we have the truths, we have a lot more teachers, we have access to a lot more things. But I think it was a gift back here because everyone started out, bunk, at the same time.
Synagogues, but those were completely different night and day. And so they didn't have a structure of what the church thought
Right. Yep. Good job, guys. A lot to take in, right? Because a lot of us, too, going against what maybe I thought or maybe what I was taught. And again, where it's fluid, it's colorful. So take these things and just pray about them. And let's do this. Next, maybe we'll give out 2 weeks. In 2 weeks, two Sundays from now, I'll keep reminding you on Tuesday and Sunday. Let's all bring our spiritual gift handout back. And if you don't have yours, you can print it off. But bring it back and let's go through them together and see what's common in our church, and maybe what's not common, and see if it fits our personality, or if it is a gift. Make sense? Shauna, you want to pray for us?
God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the knowledge that you have brought us to Pastor Jesse, that we all fulfill our hearts and our
Amen.